The hashtag MeToo movement has shined a much-needed light on unfair workplace environments which place women and even men in situations which negatively impact them physically and emotionally. Hotlines, HR departments in New Jersey have seen large increases in people seeking to report unwanted advances and other harassment. While this enlightenment was brought about in search of recovery, there are some who are using it for vengeance, for lack of a better word, via frivolous claims of harassment. My first guest today joins us to discuss this issue, and now it's being used by some as a tactic rather than a response. She's a director with the Triple Scott Law Firm, as well as a former Florida County Court Judge, Catalina Avalos. How are you today, Catalina?
Good. How are you? And thank you for having me as a guest.
Well, thank you for stepping forward to talk about this side of the issue. And the website, by the way, for Triple Scott Law Firm, they're based in Florida, but this is on the stream as well as over-the-air radio. So if you're in need of workplace, employment, other services they specialize in, you find out more at TRIPPScott.com. Because this is sort of a parallel to when we've seen this, too, with false claims of rape in the public. The more false claims that are made, when a legitimate claim comes forward, they're going to have a higher mountain to climb because there'll be a stronger doubt against them. Is that a similar situation that can or maybe even has developed with the workplace environment and, as I said in the introduction, frivolous claims with that regard?
Sure. And one of the things that we have seen is, yes, there has been an increase in sexual harassment allegations, but what we're also seeing is that some of those sexual harassment allegations are almost a response to an employee who's already been under investigation or has been receiving some sort of warnings for performance issues. And it's almost it's reactive to that as opposed to being an actual complaint for sexual harassment for the first time. So you have to be very careful and look at each complaint that comes in on a case-by-case basis to try to understand, is this a legitimate complaint or is this being prompted by, for example, I want to save my job, and that's the way I think I can save my job if I also raise a complaint.
Or if I didn't get the promotion and to get back at the person who you thought should have given you the promotion.
That's another example, of course.
Is there a vagueness in the laws that open the doors to these complaints? For example, if you look at the New Jersey laws, there's terms like inappropriate, suggestive, lewd, and words on those lines where, well, based upon who you're talking with, or surrounded by, the word inappropriate can mean a whole host of variables.
Sure. And when we're talking about sexual harassment and the court and the cases in court interpreting what is sexual harassment, they'll look at conduct that has to be objectionable from the viewpoint of a reasonable person. Who's the reasonable person? It's generally the jury sitting there that looks at it from the view of a reasonable person. But I think what we're going to see is that the more these cases come to light, the more perhaps stringent that definition may be in terms of what's objectionable. Because right now we have the court of public opinion that is very quick to judge and act with regards to any accusations. And then we obviously have the court that is based more on the investigations and the evidence that comes in, but that takes a lot longer.
Just for reference for you listening in New Jersey, for the stats from 2017, this is from the EEOC, there were 497 sexual harassment claims filed. That was 1.7% of total U.S. claims, and in the state, it was about 28% of state EEOC claims. And on a related note, there were 687 retaliation claims that were filed. That includes sexual discrimination. That was 1.7% of U.S. claims, and believe it or not, 42.6% of the state EEOC claims. With the times changing and the gates opening in so many ways with this issue, are you finding in your work that employers of all sizes, maybe even the smaller employers having more challenges than the other, are ill prepared for what's happening right now?
I think the employers, they shouldn't be ill-prepared because this is not a new concept. What's happening is that more people are vocalizing it. I think the employers, what they need to do is take this as an opportunity to review their policies, train their management, give HR the tools and the authority to make the decisions that they need to do, so that when there is a true complaint, not only are they protecting the company, but they're also protecting or affording the alleged victim the rights that they need or that they are entitled to. So HR and companies need to make sure they have clear policies so that they can address these situations, investigate the allegations, and take corrective action if necessary, which is what the law requires them to do.
Doing some research, I came across a concept called the Employment Practices Liability Insurance. Is that something that is a safety net, a guidepost for companies of all sizes? Is that something for larger companies? How was that a benefit?
Usually because of cost considerations, mostly it's bigger companies that tend to get the EPLI insurance. But yes, there are different types of policies. There's different types of coverage, anywhere from offering defense costs, which means they'll cover the actual cost of defending a lawsuit for the employers. And there are policies that will cover the actual any type of judgment that the company has. So the companies need to or should look into the affordability of the EPLI coverage, no different than we do when we look at our homes or our cars. How much coverage do we want? What should we have based on the size of our company? And give that some consideration, because it can come very handy in the long term.
As far as the work that your firm does, as part of the work of the Tripp Scott Law Firm, do you take on the cases of the ones claiming the harassment, or do you take on the employer? Do you take on the employers who are involved in the case, or those who are being accused of being the harassers, looking to?
I would say that probably that about 95% of our work is defense work. I will tell you that I like to take a plaintiff's case from time to time, because it is important not only to see to look at things from the other side. It makes you a more well-rounded attorney. It makes you more prepared to address your cases. And it also gives you an opportunity to see who are the mediators and who are out there and how are they conducting themselves depending on the side that you represent.
Are we to a point, or at least in this early stage of the hashtag MeToo movement and, again, the floodgates opening, are we at the risk of you're going to be guilty until you can prove yourself innocent?
Well, that's interesting, because that's one view. I think that's the view that is taking place maybe in the media, right? If someone gets accused and it's the reaction that they're guilty until they're proven innocent, which clearly that's not the case under the law. But the other flip side of that as well is, are we now taking, are companies and employers taking such steps that they're so concerned of not putting women in situations and not giving them an opportunity, that because of being scared of Me Too, now they're opening themselves up for liability with discrimination?
That's an excellent point, and a facet I don't think has been talked enough. There's ironically a negative side to those who the hashtag MeToo movement is supposed to be empowering. If the employers are operating out of fear or insecurity or uncertainty about the platforms that they have operating to make sure that everything is on a fair basis and everyone gets their fair opportunities, and that's something certainly worth exploring too in another discussion. But really, for the here and now, again, it's just a matter of understanding the policies, the laws, and understanding the people who, hopefully, as an employer, that you have the best contact and knowledge of, and to be able, at least in the early stages of complaints of harassment and other inappropriate activity, to understand the sincerity and to take it from that point and learn more about the work of the Tripp Scott Law Firm, all the work that the services they provide, the areas of focus that they concentrate on. It's Tripp, TRIPPScott.com. We've been joined by their director, as well as a former Florida County Court judge, Catalina Avalos. Catalina, thanks for your insight and your input today. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, and have a great day.